I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land upon which this recording takes place, the Gubbi Gubbi people of Southeast Queensland. I honour their continuing connection to land, sea and sky, as well as their elders past, present and emerging. Hey there, welcome back to the Men, Sex and Pleasure podcast. I'm your host, Cam Fraser. This is episode number 210. We're talking all things masculinity, sexuality, male bodies and men's experiences of pleasure. And on this episode, I have the pleasure of chatting with Soraya Leonara. Soraya is a holistic sex and relationship coach and writer. She is on a mission to change the world through healing and liberating sexuality, the seed of our creation, in a way that permeates every area of our lives, not just the bedroom. With eloquence, depth, playfulness, and unconventional insight, as well as penetrating intuition, she catalyzes profound shifts in the lives of her clients and audiences. You can find Soraya at her website, which is sorayaleonara.com. That is SureyaLeonara, or on Instagram at Soraya_Leonara and on Facebook at Soraya Leonara. On this episode, the two of us talk about pleasure from multiple orgasms and sensory awareness and anxiety and cultivating intimacy. All things pleasure, which is fantastic. We resonate on a lot of things, including our opinions about semen retention and performance anxiety, for example. So if you're interested in like expanding your definition of pleasure, as well as getting some practical advice and some tips for, you know, increased awareness of sensations in your body, reducing anxiety and pressure and expectation around sex, shifting from a non-linear approach to a more circular approach, then this is going to be the episode for you. Heaps of practical advice in there and some good philosophizing as well, if I don't say so myself. It's really enjoyable to connect with Soraya. Like I said, we resonated on a few things, and so I hope you enjoy listening. Jump straight in. Soraya, the way I would like to start is I like to ask three little questions. Those questions are, who are you? What do you do? And what are you really passionate about?
My name is Soraya Leonara, and I'm a holistic sex and relationship coach. And I am really passionate about helping people fall in love with life and doing all the things that I enjoy in regards to falling in love with life, whether that's movement, dance, connecting with people I love, being in nature, just really coming alive and sinking my teeth in while I'm here in this body on this planet.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What's some examples of coming alive that you've explored with some of your clients? Like, what are some interesting things that they have liked to do that you've helped them explore?
Well, connecting with the breath, I think, is one of the easiest ones that's available to us all the time that people don't even realize they have available to them a lot of times. And so sometimes just dropping in with the breath in a very embodied, meaningful way and giving space to listen to the body can bring us into such a beautiful connection with our vitality that we forgot we had, or maybe even never knew about. So that's one I love, you know, coming into deeper connection with our sexuality and also using that as a way to tap into creative energy, to source energy, to deeper connections with ourselves and our partner, and finding the things that we're really passionate about that light us up, and finding a sense of purpose and connection and fulfillment through the things that we spend our time doing.
Yeah, I really like that as an approach. Something that I do with my clients, I work with just straight white dudes like myself, mm-hmm. and I will ask them, what do you do for pleasure? And I specifically frame it like that, like, what brings you pleasure? Because mm-hmm. what I'm kind of scratching at the surface of there with that question as a coach is, what's their relationship like with pleasure? Do they have difficulty kind of identifying things that are pleasurable? Do they notice pleasure in their body? So I'm really starting to like ask some probing questions with just like a simple prompt. And I very often have guys say to me, I don't know what I do for pleasure. That like the word pleasure there tends to stump them. So that's how I start. And they're like, I'll say to them, look, I'll dial it back. Let's backtrack a little bit here. What do you do for fun? What do you enjoy doing? And I get guys range from like, I like rock climbing and going surfing to I like playing music, or I like listening to music and going to concerts, or I like whatever, reading. I get a range of very like typical responses of things that are just enjoyable activities. And so I'll say to them, okay, that's great. You enjoy that activity. Would you say that that activity brings you pleasure? All right. So they can kind of go, oh, all right. Yeah, that's an activity that I do. It's nice and fun and good, which, you know, typically the words that a lot of guys will use to describe the things that they like to do. Yeah, it was good. It was fun. It was okay. It was fine. Like the vocabulary isn't there. So that's
fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, so my prompt for them is to go, okay, well, was that pleasurable for you? And they can go, oh, yeah, I guess it was. It was enjoyable. It was pleasurable, yeah. And so the word pleasure there becomes a little bit more available and accessible to them. And then I will start to prompt, okay, so what about it was pleasurable? What did you feel that's enjoyable and pleasurable for you from that thing? And I get guys who are into surfing. I work with a lot of surfers because I'm in Australia. And they'll say like the peace and tranquility of being out in the ocean, or the feeling of the sea breeze and the smell of the ocean, or like the feeling of the cold water lapping against my legs. Like there's like some tangible sensual elements to that experience. Yes. You know, the guys that are reading, yeah, I like reading because I'm in my comfortable chair. I like the feeling of a book in my hands. Like I have a cup of tea. I can smell the tea. That, you know, chamomile tea is one of the clients I'm working with now. He loves his chamomile tea. And so like starting to dial into, I used the word sensual before, like the literal definition of that word, like the senses, right? Like what senses are you engaging during that thing that you enjoy doing? Because that's how you're going to start to experience pleasure. And that's like my kind of inroad for getting the guys to think more holistically or more robustly about their relationship with pleasure. Because then I start to talk to them about like self-pleasure, right? And like, okay, how do you now illicitly experience sexual pleasure from sexual stimulation in whatever way that looks like? And so I don't even think I was formulating a question here. I was just kind of ranting at you about this. But I'm curious if like that lands for you, or and if you have a different approach to working with guys about like getting them to think about pleasure a little bit more deeply.
No, I actually love what you spoke to around this. I think having a more expansive definition of pleasure, like what you're speaking to, that is encompassing all the senses, the body, the experience of life beyond just what we typically think of as sexual pleasure, is so helpful. Because even I notice when I work with certain men around cultivating some sort of fulfilling intentional self-pleasure practice, if they've been very blocked in their sexuality in some way or another, it can feel like a very daunting thing. Like, what is this self-pleasure practice and what is it supposed to be? And I noticed that when I really worked with expanding beyond the definition of pleasure that maybe they're used to, it opens up this whole other territory for them to explore their body through, where it's like, let's not put the focus on orgasm or maybe what you're used to as self-pleasure, but can you just see what feels good in your body? And even just meeting your body where it is, even if you're feeling numbness or you're feeling bored or, you know, whatever is arising, can you just let it be a practice of curiosity and presence where you're meeting your body exactly where it is right now without expecting it to be different or putting pressure on it to do something other than what it's doing? And are there ways you can bring pleasure through massage, through the senses, through just giving back to your body instead of getting so hung up on this narrow definition of pleasure that I think can limit the experience and sometimes cause anxiety for certain men?
And I do appreciate how you acknowledged like meeting your body where it's at with numbness or boredom. I often find that when I ask people, but particularly the guys that I work with, what do you feel? And they say, well, I don't feel anything. And it's like, I don't really believe that, right? I think you not feeling something is you feeling something, right? Like that's the paradox of being able to say that you don't feel something is you have the awareness to say that you're not feeling that thing. So you're obviously feeling it. You're feeling the nothingness, right? Or you're feeling the numbness, or you're feeling the boredom, right? You're noticing something. And that's a great place to start, I find, with guys. They kind of go, oh, yeah. You're right. I am noticing that I'm not noticing a lot of things. I'm aware that there's not a lot of sensation there, right? There's an awareness piece that drops in when you can, or at least when I start to reframe that for the guys. And then they're like, oh, cool. Now there's something to work with. Now there's something to like move forward from. And then we do like little practices. You mentioned like breathing before, and that's a really foundational practice in my coaching as well. And then there's massage and other things that you can do to start to prompt sensations, right? And I always frame it for the guys that I work with as experimentation, right? Experiment. There's no right or wrong sensation. Let's just try things. Did you like it? Awesome. Let's do more of that. Did you not like it? Okay. Maybe we can ask why you didn't like it. And also, you don't have to do that thing again. That's fine, right? That's, you've learned something about yourself. Either way, that's cool. And so extending that curiosity and experimentation into just various different practices is something that I really try and instill in men, particularly, because I think like that playfulness and that curiousness and that spontaneity and creativity is really missing from a lot of guys' exploration of their own bodies and also in sex with their partners. So I feel like a lot of guys get kind of stuck and in like the rigidity or the formulaic approach to masturbation and sex. It has to kind of go like A, B, C, D, ejaculation, right? Like there's a very structured, yes, linear approach to it. So like getting them to be a bit more flexible and curious and experimental is like only going to serve. I mean, it served me really well in my modest sex life. And I feel like it's only going to serve me well going forward as my body changes, as my wife's body changes, as our relationship changes, as things shift and ebb and flow throughout life, having the flexibility to kind of move with that and find like what's pleasurable for you in the moment, as opposed to being like, oh God, if we don't follow this particular script, then sex is going to be shit. Like there's so much, there's so much joy to be found in that flexibility, I found at least anyway. And so I really try to instill that into the guys that I work with.
Exactly. It's like throwing that script and that trajectory away is what gives us the space to have a non-linear exploration where it's not going to get boring. You know, I think a lot of people get bored because they're on this linear trajectory, and oftentimes the male ejaculation is seen as the exclamation point that ends sex. And it's a very boring trajectory if that's what you're doing all the time. And so, yeah, I think what you're speaking to of really being able to explore and push those edges and be willing to play with something that maybe you don't like. And now you know that. But, you know, I have a friend who's an amazing guitarist. And I asked him one time, how did you get to be such an incredible guitarist? He's self-taught and he's just so creative, so out of the box. And he said, well, I had to not be afraid to hit a bad chord. You know, I had to be willing to explore the whole neck of the guitar. And I find these really trippy, interesting out of the box chords by being okay with hitting ugly ones and then being like, oh, that didn't sound so good. And if we're not willing to push outside those edges and get curious and play with something new, it is going to get boring. It's going to start to feel routine. And so, yeah, we have to be willing to tread into the territory that maybe we don't like, but now we know that it's information and it gives us another pathway to play with.
I actually love that you use that example about learning how to play guitar, because I will say to guys that sex is like a jam session between musicians, and in order to, yes, like enjoy that jam session, you've got to learn how to play your own instrument. And I always use guitar because it's phallic as an example in that analogy. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, you got to learn how to play your own guitar, right? You got to learn how to strum the strings. You got to learn like the different notes. You got to learn how to, yeah, and I like this insight here of like not being afraid to play a bad note, a quote unquote bad note, because there are no bad notes necessarily.
Right.
So yeah, I love that. I'm going to incorporate that into my metaphor that I use with my clients. I really like that little piece of insight there. So thank you.
Absolutely. And even I've even used the one of, you know, try playing with and exploring her body in the same way that you play with and explore your guitar. Like a lot of times people don't really understand what is that to explore my partner's body or my own body with so much curiosity, but they've done it somewhere else, whether like they're, mm-hmm, working on their car or they're playing their guitar or they're learning to surf. It's, we can transfer these skills and this curiosity to the bedroom as well.
Yeah, totally. I always think that curiosity should be a cornerstone of our sexual experiences, and that, yes, it will serve you well going forward. Well, something that I wanted to ask you about is, because I know you have some content around it and some programs that you do around like multiple orgasms for men. And one of the reasons why I'm kind of tying this in is because part of that exploration of self through pleasurable touch and cultivating a relationship with pleasure in general is, at least it has been for me and for a lot of the guys that I work with, is like exploring the difference between orgasm and ejaculation and learning how to have like these beautifully profound orgasmic experiences, maybe having multiple different types of orgasms, maybe having multiple orgasms in one kind of session. And like, it really is that opening up of the box and becoming non-linear, right? Like oftentimes when orgasm and ejaculation happen at the same time, as you pointed out, ejaculation tends to be the end point for a lot of sexual experiences, which marks the end of that kind of linear progression through whatever you were doing, I suppose. And so being able to like remove mindfully the ejaculation piece, which so often is like the end point, and have those orgasmic experiences that don't involve an ejaculation, really, like for me at least anyway, has opened up to it being a really circular non-linear experience, both solo and partnered. And so I have like protocols around helping guys learn how to have that. And I don't want you to give all your secrets away, of course, because I want people to engage with your work. But what are some strategies that you use to help guys have multi-orgasmic experiences?
I think, you know, it's one of the paradoxical things about it is trying not to treat it like a goal of something that you're trying to learn, because then you kind of chase it away.
Yep.
And that's one of the trickiest parts about it, is it has to be this curious exploration again of, this is something that I'm open to expanding my horizons into, but I'm not chasing it down. Otherwise, I feel like it can kind of be like a cat, where like when you try to pin a cat down, it's going to run away. You kind of have to wait for it to come to you. But I think some of the best ways to court it are to be very present in the body and focus on your breath and be able to track with where the sexual energy is in your body and keep your system relaxed, and to really rewire the mind towards that chasing towards the edge, chasing towards that end result. And I think it's a really big thing for everybody to repattern, of treating orgasm as the point of sex or the thing that we're racing towards, but to rather have a more circular mindset around it to begin with. Even in the way that we look at ejaculation, can we change our perspective on ejaculation from being the exclamation point that ends it to a dot, 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 and let's see what comes next? And can we even, if we want to continue playing and connecting, can we find creative pathways to do that once the ejaculation has happened, and just get our minds in a more creative, playful space of being in that more circular energy? So I think that's a huge piece of it, taking the pressure off. I always say that if men are wanting to work towards non-ejaculatory orgasm, but especially if maybe they're having premature ejaculation issues first, like first, we just have to take the pressure off of even being scared that you're going to come too soon, and get to a place where you can allow your ejaculation and celebrate it and not feel bad about it or beat yourself up about it. And just removing that pressure feels like such an important first step of kind of learning to walk before you can run, kind of thing. So I think finding like that sense of peace and ease within the body and with your partner around ejaculation not being this thing that we're going to treat as like, oh, it ruined the experience, or it made the experience. Like, can we just let it be a part of the journey without obsessing over it so much and making it mean too much? And then tuning in with the breath and building capacity within the body across the board. I think building capacity is probably the core thing I work with my clients, whether it's building capacity for holding a lot of sexual energy in the body and circulating it so you can have these multi-orgasmic experiences, whether it's the capacity of showing up for conflict and not going into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, whether it's the capacity for asking for large sums of money for the work you do, investing large sums of money in something you want, holding large sums of money if you're trying to, you know, build a savings. All of these things require capacity within the nervous system. And so I think building capacity within your body to be with high intensity sensation is one of the biggest things for being able to have these types of experiences, where we're not short circuiting and shooting it out of the body because it's uncomfortable or it's too much to be with.
Yeah, I love everything that you just said was like super resonant with me. I sincerely appreciate that you like mentioned that ejaculation is a dot, dot, dot rather than a exclamation mark. So, and that, like, I don't know, what am I trying to articulate here? What I often find is that people don't define what they mean by multiple orgasms, right? And so the experience of like ejaculating and then just going for round two 15 minutes later when the refractory period is over and ejaculating again, that's multiple orgasms, right? If that's like one sexual experience for you and you've ejaculated twice and there just happens to be 20 minutes in between those ejaculations, that's multiple orgasms, right? Like that's one way of defining multiple orgasms. And then another way of defining multiple orgasms, of course, is like non-ejaculatory orgasms and having multiple, in terms of like a series of multiple non-ejaculatory orgasms, right? Like, sure, that's one other way of doing it. Another way of defining multiple orgasms is like having different types of orgasms. So maybe a prostate orgasm, maybe a non-ejaculatory orgasm, and then an ejaculation, right? An ejaculatory orgasm. That's multiple different types of orgasms, right? So I'm a little bit hung up on like language and like the definition of the terms that we're using. And so, yeah, I appreciated that you kind of mentioned that ejaculation doesn't have to be the the end point, and that you can just go again in however many minutes and like go for another orgasm then. Because that's something that I often say to guys who are like, yeah, I want to have multiple orgasms. I'll say, well, that's one way of doing it. Yeah, is just to ejaculate a couple of times in one evening. That was one thing that I wanted to say thank you for saying. The other thing that really landed for me is, oh, it's just slipped my mind as I was rambling about multiple orgasms and getting excited about that. Yeah, is like capacity, right? It's like expanding your energetic capacity to hold high intensity experiences. And one of those high intensity experiences, of course, in this context is pleasure, right? Like holding pleasure in your body. I often find that a lot of guys aren't familiar or comfortable with being in a state of pleasure for a long period of time. They're very used to like blasting through that top end of the spectrum and just going straight into ejaculation because that's what they have done when they've masturbated or had sex. And so starting to play around with that like peak state of arousal, that top range of the graph that I often will say to my clients, like being familiar with what it's like to be in that orgasmic state where everything in that heightened state of arousal is orgasmic for you rather than being orgasm being this peak transient experience at the top of the graph. You're kind of in this range. Spending time there is like really important, and that builds their like physical and energetic capacity to hold that pleasure in their body. And I often say to guys as well that like the more you're able to do that for yourself, the more you're going to be able to hold that pleasure for your partner as well. The more you're going to be able to go deeper with their experience of pleasure because you're able to hold that in your nervous system and hold it energetically in your body. So 100% on board with that. And I remember the last thing that you said that really landed for me as well, which I always say to other practitioners, especially because there's a lot of ejaculation shaming that can typically happen in like the sacred sexuality and tantric communities, is that it's okay to come. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Like it's good and it should be celebrated, and ejaculation is a pleasurable experience. And it doesn't, like, I think you so beautifully like framed it, like it doesn't have to mean that that's the end of sex or that sex was a failure, right? If you came in a couple of minutes, right? If that's like taking that pressure away from ejaculation, having to be this like thing that should never happen if you're like a semen retention kind of guru type figure, or like should never happen because you're super anxious about premature ejaculation. Like there's a lot of anxiety around ejaculation in both of those spaces. And I think just like, as you shared, like taking that expectation and that pressure off, and just if ejaculation comes, just allow it to come, enjoy it, celebrate it. Like it's a fantastic, pleasurable experience for a lot of people. So just allow it. And
exactly.
You're 100% right that taking away of pressure is one of the foundational steps to then surrendering into the experience of pleasure. And I often will frame, like I've seen it enough, guys have their first like non-ejaculatory orgasm, that the phrasing that I say, which describes it, is it's a happy accident, right? It's not, the goal isn't to try and have the orgasm, the multiple orgasm or the non-ejaculatory orgasm. You are chasing that cat, so to speak, becoming goal-oriented, and you typically shoot yourself in the foot. So I'll say, like, just be present in the moment. You explore that pleasure, do the things that we're talking about, allow yourself to just have an experience. And very often it catches them off guard. They kind of like have this experience. They're like, oh my God, I wasn't actually expecting it. It's like, exactly. That's the point, is that it's yes. Not expected. It's not a goal that you're trying to reach. It's something that you paradoxically kind of just like let go of. And it's from that space that you've let go that you're able to like surrender into having like these peak pleasurable experiences in kind of a variety of different ways. So yeah, a happy accident is the way that I like to frame it. And that
typically
gets guys going. Yeah, again, no question at the end of that, but just wanted to see if there's anything you wanted to add.
I think just going back to like the shame around ejaculation and how much of a focal point it can be, it's like, I think one of the things so many men are thinking is like, don't come, don't come, don't come, which means you're actually just thinking about coming. Like if, you know, if we say, don't think of a purple elephant, we all just thought of a purple elephant. The body, the subconscious doesn't understand negatives. And so the more that we can just feel into like, how can I just be with my body and stay curious and expand into this pleasure instead of getting attached to what form it takes or doesn't take, the easier we're going to be able to move that pleasure through our system. And I think just, yeah, that fear, that shame around ejaculation is the thing that congests us the most. So the more we can be okay with it and celebrate it and enjoy the fuck out of it when it happens, because if it's happening, like, enjoy it. It's here. This is what it is. Let's not make a big fuss about it. Just enjoy it and keep playing, and with whatever, feels right for you, whether it's enjoying it and ending there or shifting into another way, connecting. I think it's just one of the biggest pieces is letting yourself off the hook around whatever trip you're on about it.
I am familiar with the don't think of a purple elephant because I say that all the fucking time when I'm talking to people that
Do
are like
you?
NoFap practitioners or semen retention gurus. I and this is maybe we're getting a little bit tangential here, but I personally believe that it's focusing on the wrong thing. Semen retention and NoFap, it's focusing on not doing something, right? As opposed to exploring and celebrating the things that you can do and can experience. And as you so succinctly pointed out, if you're focusing on not ejaculating, well, the first thing you've got to think about not ejaculating is ejaculating in the first place to then try and suppress that emotion or that thought. And that's, from my understanding, that's known as ironic process theory in psychology, also known as the white bear problem, which comes from a guy in the 1980s who did this study with his students where he got them to try and suppress the thought of a white bear. And he said, I don't want you to think about a white bear. And obviously, what did all the students do? Well, they thought about a white bear in order to then not think about it, right? And so that's that kind of paradoxical way of trying to suppress something, as you said, that we don't understand how to process negatives in the brain, right? Like you have to think about something in order to then not think about it. And so that's what I see is emphasized in these like NoFap and semen retention spaces is like, don't ejaculate. Don't ejaculation's bad. Like, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't watch porn. Don't masturbate. Don't ejaculate. And so you're just bringing those things to the surface in order like to then not do those things. And so rather than framing the practice that I have, because I still think it's necessary and interesting to explore the frequency of your ejaculation, but I'll frame it as conscious ejaculation or intentional ejaculation as opposed to semen retention, right? Rather than stopping something, it's like, well, you can ejaculate, but just be mindful about it. Like, notice what happens when you come, celebrate it when it's there. And if you want to experiment with not ejaculating for a little while, awesome. What's coming up for you? Let's be positive about that experience rather than trying to like just not come for a certain period of time and then get super ashamed because you broke your streak or something to that effect, right?
Exactly. And anytime we try to repress something, it just gets louder. And I think this is something there's a lot of confusion around within the realm of seminal retention and non-ejaculatory orgasm. Like I think a lot of people think of seminal retention just means edging and like taking something away of like, I'm just not coming and I'm just lasting longer. And I think a lot of people miss that. It's not about taking something away. It's about expanding into a whole new territory of a different type of pleasure. And that there's a whole other step that's often missed, which is that non-ejaculatory orgasm. And you're not just giving something up, you're tapping into a whole new type of experience. And for some reason, it seems like that gets lost a lot. And so I think that's always an important thing is like nobody's trying to take anything away from you. And if we phrase it in that way, it's not going to be an enjoyable process, but more like what else can I tap into? What else is available here? And can I enjoy the full spectrum of it?
Yeah, something that is like I get a lot of guys who reach out to me because they're struggling to last as long as they would like sexually. And so one of the things that I'll say to them is, well, let's explore and experiment with what it's like to take ejaculation away from your sexual experiences. And one of the reasons why is because, well, I'll ask them, when was the last time you masturbated or had sex and didn't ejaculate? And they kind of look at me blankly and go, well, never. That's the whole point, right? And like and so the underlying implication of that is like, well, there's a pretty strong association there of you being sexually aroused and that ending in an ejaculation. Right, like our body loves patterns, our body likes doing the thing that it's used to doing, and it loves just following the route of least resistance. And so if that has been for however many years you've been sexually active, just getting to a state of arousal and then ejaculating pretty soon after that, then that's what the body knows how to do. And so the body's just going to keep on doing that until you make some changes. So one of the changes that you can make is, Well, let's intentionally take ejaculation off the table so that you can practice being in a state of arousal, exploring your pleasure, and there not being an ejaculation associated with that. So your body starts to learn how to disentangle those two experiences. And that leads back into then like, okay, now you're in a heightened state of arousal. Let's build your capacity for that, right? So there's like the disentangling of that association between those two things, being aroused and ejaculating. And then once that disentangling has started to happen, it's like now build your capacity for the pleasure that you can experience when you're in that heightened state of arousal. So there's like a two-part little process there that I find for guys, particularly when they're struggling with like ejaculating quite quickly or before they would like to, is just like semen retention, if that's the language you want to use, or conscious ejaculation, or just changing the way, changing the frequency of your ejaculation is like one of the things that you can do to help kind of disassociate those two things as two different experiences. Anyway, we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole, because what I wanted to circle back to was something that you started to speak about, and I took us in a bit of a different direction, but I want to mention it, is like the pressure and the expectation that's placed upon like ejaculation. Because of course, the guys that are practicing their self-pleasure and like wanting to learn more about their body and doing all these beautiful things that we're talking about, being curious and exploratory and experimental, obviously they have their own stories to navigate and their own pressures and expectations to overcome. And also, if they're in a relationship, their partner will have to be mindful of the stories and the pressures and the expectations and the things that they kind of project onto him or put into his sexual experience. And so I wanted to ask you about like, what is your strategy or approach for like enrolling, I work with heterosexual men, so enrolling female partners, women, into like his experience of his sexual journey, exploring his pleasure. Like, how do you help women support their men doing that?
It's such an important question. I actually had a little mini offshoot course with my multi-orgasmic vitality for men course that was for the women, the partners of them, to kind of guide them and how to support their men on this, and also show them like what the benefits are for them too. Cause I've actually had women get really annoyed if their man is learning non-ejaculatory orgasm from me, because they're like, well, I'm not having enough orgasms. Why are we focusing on his orgasms? And they don't always see this as really going to benefit them too. It's going to increase his stamina. It's going to increase his ability to be present and stay and prolong and expand that space together. And I think it's really important to understand that this is something that benefits, you know, the whole relationship. But also, I think so much pressure is put on the man to be the one to perform, to last long enough, to not end the party sooner than we wanted it to end. And I think it's so important to recognize that it is a team effort and that we both play a role in that. And if, you know, if as a woman, if you're not listening to your partner's body, if you don't know what it feels like when he's at his edge and you're not in kinesthetic communication around that, you could be pushing him over his edge, you know, unconsciously, not be paying attention to what you're doing with your body. And I have found that there is such delicious territory to explore with a lover who is building his stamina, where it requires that we drop into this hyper attuned, very subtle, slow, deeply present space to really listen to each other's body and consciously ride that edge. And I've found some of the most gorgeous intimate territory within that space of what is required to actually meet each other there and to be on the same page and to work that as a team, and how much can be felt in those little subtle micro movements. Even if he's really needing to slow down or be still, can you come into the breath? Can you come into this very deep energetic connection and feel every tiny little movement? And when there's not a pressure there, when there's like an I'm right here with you and we're doing this together and whatever happens, happens, and we're just staying curious, we're just staying present, it's a completely different experience than putting it all on him of, you know, you better last long enough, and if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed. A completely different energy that also allows his nervous system to relax. And I think one of the paradoxical things is women think if I have to slow down and I have to hold his hand through this process or whatever, I'm never going to get what I want. It's always going to be going at his pace. But they don't understand that by taking that pressure off and working with him on this, it's like a slow is smooth and smooth is fast kind of thing. He's going to learn faster if he has that safe environment, which then in turn is going to give you what you want as a woman in terms of him being able to last longer and have that beautiful level of presence with you.
Yeah. Do you get like the women in these couples like really pushing back against this approach, I suppose? And if you do, my follow-up question is, how do you navigate that?
Sometimes, yes. It depends on how long it took them to mm-hmm. reach out for help. Like if they've been in this situation for years and she feels like her sexual needs have been going unmet for a long time, I find there's a lot more resistance, which is totally fair. I let her know you're valid in how you're feeling about this, but we need to work with it in a way that's constructive. And you have to recognize that if you're projecting a lot of negativity, it's going to push the result you're wanting further away. And so it's not that your frustration around this is wrong. It's just, we need to look at how we're working with it and how we're expressing it in a way that you guys are working as a team towards constructive solutions. And so I think, a question I ask in relationship in general, regardless of the topic, is the way that you're acting bringing you closer to what you want or pushing it further away? And so I think that's a really helpful question in this circumstance, particularly that we have to work together as a team, and we can pout and throw a fit about it, but we're gonna get what we want sooner if we can humble out and try something new and see if this is a pathway that could bring us closer to what we're desiring.
Yeah, beautiful. I often find similar experiences with some men. I don't work with couples specifically, but I obviously work with men who are in relationships, and I invite them to, in fact, it's a prerequisite if a guy's going to work with me that he has to tell his partner. I do not mm-hmm. like working. It's one of my boundaries that I don't work with guys if their partner doesn't know that he's doing this work. And so anyway, I invite their partners onto a call as well. Some partners take me up on that offer, and they'll jump on a call with me, and they can ask questions, and they can kind of go, why are they doing these practices? Because I'll share with him, like, hey, this is the reason why I think you should be doing this practice. And if you want to do it in a partnered way, here's how you can get your partner involved. And here's the kind of underlying reasons and principles. And then guys will be like, hey, babe, we've got to do this practice because Cam said so. And it's like, well, there's a lot more reasons behind me just saying so. And so I oftentimes will get wives or girlfriends or partners come to me and say, hey, why are we doing this practice? Like, can you explain it just a little bit more? I didn't get a lot of information from my husband or whoever it is. And so I'm familiar with like navigating some of the tension around that, of like centering his pleasure and centering his journey. And I think that's a really good insight that you shared with around like, how long have they waited before they've started to reach out to someone for help? I definitely have observed that as well. If it's been happening for years and years and years, then yeah, they can definitely throw up some more reluctance to actually want to do anything. Right. One of the things that I have found useful in that kind of dynamic is like diversifying their sexual experiences. So in, I suppose like maybe it's in a sense of compromise, like, hey, if you're willing to go on this journey with like my client, with this guy, your husband, and like put some effort and some compassion into like working on his thing, which is maybe in this scenario that we're kind of leaning on, like learning how to last longer by slowing down and paying attention. Like, mm-hmm. what are some other things that we can do to make sure that your sexual needs are still being met? Right. And so that might involve sex that doesn't involve a penis and a vagina. Right. So it might be like sexy massage, or using some toys, or using fingers, or using tongues and mouths, or feet, whatever other part of the body that you enjoy. And it's like, how can we still make sure that you're having your needs met, or like your desires are still like expressed and explored? Not everything's just solely based on him. Like, and so there's a conversation there around like decentering the penis in general, and diversifying and adding variety of sexual experiences into the mix, so that like the only time that they are sexual together isn't just them working on something, because I find that is also like not super conducive for them wanting to have sex. Like if every time they're having sex, they're having to do work on something, because that's like what he's doing. He's on a sexual coaching program. I often find that becomes a little bit like, not demanding is the right word, but like it becomes almost like, okay, we've got to do some more work. Like we've got to do a practice. And so I give couples and the guys that I speak to, like the invitation to diversify the sex that they have and go, hey, there's other ways of being sexual with your partner that are fun and playful and sensual and erotic. And that's also important on this journey, not just trying to do a practice every time you have sex, because that can get a little bit tedious and maybe a little bit annoying for your partner if she's having to like do a practice with you every single time. It's like, oh, fuck, here we go. Another practice. So adding that variety in, I find, is helpful to navigate that tension.
Exactly. We want it to still be play. And everything you spoke to just now ties in beautifully with the letting ejaculation be a dot, dot, dot. Like all the ways we can play are ways that we can channel into a different expression if ejaculation happens too soon, or if an erection's not happening, or whatever it is. And like all of these hangups are actually such beautiful opportunities for expanding into new territory, getting creative and curious. I think anytime there's a limitation, it breeds creativity if we allow it to. You know, if you think of like Italian food, it's a lot of like bread, cheese, and tomatoes, and how many different dishes can you make with those ingredients? It's like you work with what you have and you play with all the different ways you can explore it. But, you know, I had a partner that while we were working on building his stamina, we got to play in so many different dynamic ways that like I wasn't even noticing that we were only having actual intercourse for short periods of time, because we were just riding our chemistry and playing in so many different ways. And my body would have all the time it needed to get really turned on, to have all kinds of pleasure throughout that whole course of time, that it didn't actually matter how long intercourse was lasting, because I was so nourished and turned on and well-fed, and we were so deeply connected through the entire experience that there was no focus on intercourse or ejaculation. It was this very non-linear process of just weaving into all these ways of playing. And then eventually, I mean, actually quite quickly, within a couple months' time, the stamina became not even an issue at all. Like it was just such a low pressure environment that he, you know, got to a point where he could last for hours after literally, like sometimes in the beginning, he would last maybe 5-10 minutes, was very short period of time. But just by having this no pressure space to play and build energy and kind of co-create in that way, his stamina really exponentially expanded, and it never had to be this frustrating or unfulfilling thing. And I think that if couples know that that's possible, like that's a completely different narrative than what we usually see in these dynamics. And there is a lot of richness that can unfold in building that intimacy of working as a team together and not getting so hung up on outcome and just trusting that the currents are flowing and things are going to work out and blossom in all kinds of beautiful directions. And we don't need to like sit there and push the river, you know, being worried that it's not going to happen. I think that the pressure and the expectation are the biggest killers to those types of expansive experiences that we're wanting to have.
Yeah, and I think what you've like described there from your own experience speaks to a observation that I've made, and something I'd love to speak to you about, because I know you mentioned this before, is that just shifting your approach to sex from like the pressure and the anxiety and the tension and the performativity of it and the linearity of it to that relaxed, playful, curious, exploratory, like I like to call it the no big deal approach. I like, yes. Hey, you tried something, it didn't really work, no big deal, but we're still here, we're still doing something, I'm not going anywhere, I still want to keep on playing with you, still exploring pleasure. Or I came in the first couple of minutes, no big deal, I'm still here, I'm not going anywhere.
Yep.
I can go for round two and, you know, 15 minutes. I can still pleasure you with fingers and toes and hands and things like that. Like like cultivating that kind of like that lightheartedness. Mm-hmm. That in my observation has been like such a like transformative process for a lot of the guys that I work with, that has helped them overcome the particular issue that they originally saw me for. So whether it's like they're coming quite quickly, or they're unhappy with their reliability of their erections, or they're noticing that they're not so interested in sex, or like whatever it might be. Like a lot of the times the guys will come to me saying like, I've got this dysfunction, I've got this premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, low libido, or inhibited sexual desire. Like that's like clinical language that oftentimes a lot of guys interpret as there's something wrong with my body. And so I've got to take a, I got to take a pill to fix this, right? I've got erectile dysfunction when really they maybe only have had difficulties getting erections a couple of times. And now they automatically think they've got erectile dysfunction. I've got to take Viagra for that, right? Or I've got premature ejaculation, or really they're just coming before they want to, and they don't really know how to have longer sexual experiences. And I've got to go take an SSRI to dull my sensitivity so that I can last longer. Or I don't want to have sex at the drop of a hat, and I don't think about sex every 7 seconds like I'm supposed to because I'm a man. I need to go and take some testosterone replacement therapy, right? Like there's this assumption I find that, like, if there is something that's quote unquote wrong with what they perceive their sexual experience to be, that it's something to do with their body, that like there's a blood flow issue, or there's a function issue, or there's like a mechanics or hydraulics issue, as opposed to like what I have noticed and observed is like, and this maybe is a selection bias because of the clients that I work with, but like a lot of the times it's got nothing to do with their body. Their body's working fine. It's got to do with the approach that they have to sex, the performance that they're trying to emulate, or like the expectations that are maybe unrealistic about what to expect of their body or their partner's body, or like the stress and anxiety that they're feeling because they aren't having this particular experience that they thought they should have. And so just like shifting through all of that to get to a point where they can be just in their pleasure and just relaxed and curious and not stressing out so much about it. Usually the quote unquote dysfunctions that they presented with kind of fall by the wayside because there was nothing wrong in the first place. Now they're just able to like have the sexual experiences that they want to have and enjoy the pleasure that's available to them without freaking out about what their body is or isn't doing. So I wanted to share that and see if that landed for you, and if you had anything you wanted to speak into around that.
100%. I think this is such an important topic. And I love the way that you spoke to it. And I've had the same experience where the body is not broken. The body is communicating. The body is so wise and is always talking to us. Even if there is a medical issue, that's still a way that the body is talking to us. And I speak to this very much from my own experience. The whole way that I came into this work was because I thought my body was broken. I lost my libido and was having pain during sex all in my early 20s. And I had chronic illness stuff going on, and I had traumas to work through, and I had issues in my relationship. And there were so many pieces woven into this. And it's been a non-linear process. I've had other periods in my life, even since starting this work, where I thought, oh my God, is something broken? And it's never been the case. It's always the body letting you know that something is out of alignment, something's needing attention, whether that's in your own internal world, your lifestyle, your relationship, whatever it is. But things like, for example, sometimes men with that can't get an erection, it can be an issue of trust or safety, or even like financial stability. Sometimes the wisdom of the cock is like, hey, we're not in a place to reproduce right now. We're not even going to risk that, and, you know, won't get hard. Sometimes, you know, premature ejaculation can be something like if you're feeling sucked dry or disempowered by your job or your partner or some element of life, it can manifest physically of like literally sucking the life force out of you and feeling like you don't have control over that. So I think there's a lot of different things that kind of express very figuratively, but express through the body in these ways that are just guiding us to things that are needing attention. And I've seen really miraculous things happen. You know, I had a client that was disconnected from his sexuality for like 10 years while having an MS diagnosis that he was told he would kill him within 5 years. And he's here 12 years later, totally healthy, but healing his sexuality and thought things weren't working. But as we start unpacking what's in the way here, where is the energy stuck? He's realizing his body works perfectly fine. And it's just been a psychological process of like stories he told himself, belief systems he had that were, you know, keeping his energy stuffed down. So I think the body is miraculous in its capacity to heal. And anytime we're having a quote unquote dysfunction, it's an opportunity to cultivate deeper intimacy with the body and listen to what is it trying to guide us towards and let us know about ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you for speaking into that. I really like the connection you're making there between like work stresses and like general life stresses and sexual experiences, I often find that a lot of guys try to compartmentalize their like work life is over here, their sex life is over here, their like relationship is here, and they kind of have this assumption or this expectation that those areas of their life aren't communicating with each other when they are, in fact, quite profoundly as well. And so, yes, I notice similar things if one of the guys I'm working with at the moment is like got a hectic work schedule that's keeping him busy just like nonstop. And so when he's exploring his self-pleasure, one of the things that he notices is like a frenetic kind of frantic kind of stimulating that he leans on. Like it's like kind of like really trying to get something from his body. And I kind of said to him, like, where else are you doing that in your life? And he's like, oh shit, yeah, with work all the time. I'm just always on the go at work. And so like my self-pleasure is just like a reflection of the way that I approach my work life, because I'm just always having to do the next thing and the next task and get to the next point. And so his self-pleasure was, and his relationship with pleasure was very much a reflection of that. So we've worked on him getting outdoors and slowing down and going on walks and, you know, listening to guided meditations, things that are going to like shift that perspective for him in life in general. And through that, he's noticed that like now that he's more comfortable slowing down and more comfortable being still, essentially, that his self-pleasure looks way, way different without me really giving him a self-pleasure practice to do. Just kind of said like, hey, let's try and do this for your life balance in general. And he's noticed that like that has translated into the way that he self-pleasures. And I think it's a two-way street as well. I think like the way that you have, I mean, I say this very crudely, but the way that you, I'll say it politely and I'll say it crudely, but the way that you masturbate is the way that you will have sex, which is the way that you will approach life. Or to put it much more succinctly, the way that you wank is the way that you fuck is the way that you live, right? And so like if you're like, and it is like vice versa as well. So I think like if you're able to shift those things, you know, psychologically, that'll change for you in terms of your sexual experiences. And I also think the other way is true as well. If you like start to do things sexually, like if you start to like slow your breathing down when you're being sexual and you start to really like explore like your sexual pleasure and your eroticism, that will also ripple out into the way that you, in your way that you experience life, right? There's a really beautiful synergistic two-way street there, at least in my opinion. That has been true from my experience of like sex and life in general anyway.
I love what you spoke to about that. I think, you know, I call this holistic sex and relationship coaching because sex is the energy we're made of. It's connected to everything. It's our life force, and we're in relationship with everything all the time. And so we can't isolate these issues of the bedroom to the bedroom. They're interwoven into everything. And, you know, I've had couples sometimes be like, well, why are we talking about this part of our relationship? We're coming here for a sexual issue. And I'm like, no, I promise you, if you know, whatever's happening in the bedroom is happening in the other rooms of the house too. And we have to unpack these parts of the relationship to see where that energy is really stuck. And I think it's, you know, really beautiful what you uncovered with this client of where else are you doing that in your life, and kind of this energy of the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And I think when we're so demanding of our bodies a lot of times, especially in Western culture, just it, you know, we can get in this yang overdrive of just doing, going. And I see that as one of the biggest killers of my own sexual energy. If I get into those patterns of doing too much, as well as in couples, like couples that are just spread way too thin and they're both always on and active, you get that kind of false yin energy that creates this stagnancy where like neither person wants to initiate, neither person wants to carry the momentum. They both kind of want the other one to do the work. And even thinking about it as doing the work shows how burnt out they are, because we shouldn't be looking at sex as like doing the work, like it should be fun and playful. But if it feels like work, like that's showing you're burnt out and you need to replenish your energy and your vitality. So I think that's a really important thing to look at, is where are you pushing yourself too hard, and you know, where can that be brought back into greater balance?
Yeah, I appreciate you saving me there with those reflections and totally resonate with them as well. And I guess my curiosity is, we've spoken about like self-pleasure a little bit, and we kind of ventured into multi-orgasms and like how partners can kind of support. But I'm curious, like, do you have particular practices that you share with couples to help the male in that relationship, the man in that relationship, experience multiple orgasms? Because I have protocols that I share with my clients for solo based exploration, and then some other things that are useful for couples to do together to help kind of further that exploration of multiple orgasms. I'm curious if there's anything that you particularly like to share for couples specifically.
I do. Yeah. I think it's fun to have the individual practices as well as the couple ones. And I find that a tantric massage practice where the man can just be receptive without having any pressure to perform or give back can really work wonders. And obviously where that gets reciprocated. So like you said, it's not like she's always the one holding space for his process, but they can offer that to each other and really be of service to each other in really beautiful ways. But I find where that space where he can be totally yin and receptive, and there is no expectation of showing up in a certain way, and being able to really fully receive and track with that edge and how the energy is flowing, can be so helpful. Because self-pleasure is wonderful for playing with these kinds of things, but when you're the giver and the receiver, you're having to track with more. And I think to be in that purely receptive space, that's a way that I particularly like to practice with my own partners too, of like helping them really drop into what does that feel like, and how can I track with this energy, and just kind of let go of the pressure of like holding it all together. And I think a lot of times men don't get that experience. So I think that's
yeah,
a really
I love that.
Powerful
yeah.
way.
Thank you for sharing. And yeah, that definitely is something that I like to use Betty Martin's Wheel of Consent framework for that when like exploring touch and being able to receive. And yeah, I find that a really like light bulb moment for a lot of guys and their partners as well. Like a lot of guys that I speak to, and it's like, I say to them, like, it's noble that you want to be the giver and the doer and the person who like makes your partner orgasm, but that can oftentimes put a lot of pressure on your partner to experience something, and that can be shooting
yes.
yourself in the foot, because that pressure is the thing that's stopping them from experiencing that pleasure and those orgasms in the first place. So I get it. I get that you kind of want to give your partner pleasure, but we've got to kind of reframe here and readdress the approach. And so the shift there is like what we kind of spoke about earlier in the conversation, which is like, how deep can you go with your own pleasure so that you're able to hold that for your partner so that she can go into her pleasure and you can hold that space for her more deeply. So yeah, I have to kind of like shift that a little bit for guys, because yeah, they want to do the things to their partner. They want to know the techniques and the strategies and like how to get their partner to like have these experiences. And really the quote unquote strategy is, well, how can you create the safety and the container for her to like drop in and let go and
yes.
surrender and not feel the pressure or the expectation to have a particular experience. And the same is true, like we've been talking about this whole hour, for him as well, right? Taking that pressure away,
absolutely.
Taking that expectation away for a particular experience to quote unquote happen or not happen. So mm-hmm. I resonate with like the tantric massage and just allowing that to be in a space of receiving, because particularly guys, they don't find themselves in that space very often, or not very intentionally,
right.
at least. I'm mindful of time, Saraya, and I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything else that you feel is like unsaid, or that you just want to throw in any words of wisdom that you have as we close down?
Gosh, you know, I guess I just like to play with the idea of, if you had never seen anybody have sex before, like how would you approach it? Like how would, like, can you really get curious about that no big deal energy that you talked about? I really like that. You know, we're all so programmed by movies, porn, whatever, like we've all seen how we think it's supposed to look or supposed to go. And what happens if you throw away that entire script and you just follow the wisdom of your body, and you just allow your curiosity and your desire to take you on whatever pathway it wants to without worrying about where it's going? I think that's a really fun way to play with it. And I think we've discussed such multifaceted pathways today of, you know, what that looks like to get outside of that narrow tunnel vision trajectory that we often think about. And I that would be my invitation to people, is just how curious can I get, how outside the box can I think, and just get myself out of this frame of thinking that it's supposed to be some particular way, and just let the journey take me where it will.
Yeah, that's so lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you for sitting down and having a chat with me. Thanks for listening to me ramble as well a couple of times. I appreciate you sticking with me. It's been so lovely to get to know you a little bit more. And I just really appreciate you sharing your wisdom with me.
Likewise, Cam. It's been such a pleasure to connect with you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, no worries.